Hi there, I'm Barbara Turley, and you're watching another episode of Feminine Wealth TV, the show that uncovers the diamond tips on creating truly conscious wealth from changemakers, world shakers, and wealth creators. I'm joined on the show today by an amazing woman. She is the group CEO of The Food Bag, and she's also the founder and director of Au Pair Link, which is Australia's largest au pair network. She has won Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year 2013. She has been nominated, she won, sorry, Businesswoman of the Year in 2012. She also won Best SME. All of this while having a gorgeous little baby boy. So please welcome to the show, all the way from Sweden, the dancing queen of strategic business, Cecilia Robinson.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You're an amazing woman. I just was reading your stuff. I have to interview this woman.
Surround myself by really amazing people.
Yeah, is that, that's been the...
Definitely the way to go.
The key thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me, I mean, we were talking off air, you've got this beautiful Kiwi accent, You're actually from Sweden.
Yeah, I'm actually a Swedish Kiwi Aussie now, so yeah, I've got a really good combo in me, so... Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually born and bred in Sweden, and I only left there when I was about 20, so, yeah.
Yeah, you've cultivated a really good international accent.
So, yeah, I've worked hard.
So tell me, so you were in Stockholm, and then what brought you to this end of the world?
Yeah, well, initially I was an au pair in America for about a year, and then I came back into the great devastation of my parents. I decided to not proceed with my law degree and to go to New Zealand on a working holiday visa instead. And so the night that I arrived in Auckland, I met my future husband.
Was he a Kiwi?
Yeah, he is. So it was all over from there.
Yeah, you were here to stay.
Yeah, definitely. I just love it down this end of the world.
And tell me, so you studied law, you gave that up? Or?
Yeah, well, I've started and stopped a couple of times. So I'm like halfway through a degree in New Zealand, and I've got a couple of good months under me in Sweden as well, but I just you just end up doing something totally different,
and that's just the way life goes sometimes.
You were probably just a born business owner.
I guess so. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what about, so your first business was is Au Pair Link, which obviously you're still involved and still running.
Yes.
Started in 2006.
Yep.
Obviously, I was thinking when I read about that, the idea must have come because you were an au pair and saw the opportunity here. So tell me, What was the genesis of it, and where did it all sort of...
Well, I mean, for me, it was... I actually wanted to be an au pair in New Zealand or Australia, and there was actually no reputable agency at that stage that was operating in New Zealand, and so I went to the US. Mm. And then when I went on my work and travel, I went to New Zealand, and I was like, oh, it's amazing, you know, people just love going here, why isn't it better shaped, you know, down here? So after I spent about a year in New Zealand, and I really missed my kids that I took care of, I decided to pursue it. It was just a hobby to start with, you know, it was something to keep me entertained, on the other side of the world without my friends and family.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it just became quite a big business from there.
So it started out a bit sort of ad hoc. Were you just saying to a few friends, hey, you should come to New Zealand?
It was actually not friends. I took it pretty seriously from start. So we did all the advertising and employed a team ultimately in Sweden to source au pairs. And so we did take it pretty seriously from start. And the reality was that, you know, the families we approached in New Zealand all wanted au pairs, and it was a really good kind of test environment to see if it was going to be successful.
Yeah. And then, so the move to Australia, the love affair with New Zealand, how did that all...
Yeah, I mean, we're here 6 months, we're going to be here for 6 months. We're moving back to New Zealand in October, but we love Sydney. You know, I'm a big city girl. I'm brought up in Stockholm, so it's quite different from Auckland in that sense. It is a big city, and I really love that. So,
And tell me then, so the business started off in New Zealand, and then how did you migrate it over to Australia?
Well, my food bag's in Australia, Au Pair Link isn't, and the reality of that is Au Pair Link is government funded in New Zealand, and so in New Zealand the government funds in-home education, and so that makes it a really good environment to operate an au pair agency in, because you have access to early childhood teachers and things that you don't have in other markets.
I see. And did you know this before you started that business?
Or was no, that just, we actually were the first au pair agency basically in the world to become licensed by the Ministry of Education as a early childhood provider. Mm. So it was a world first, so we were really proud of that.
Yeah, excellent. So tell me then, the move to... So my food bag, I mean, what I'm amazed about is, first of all, that, you know, I mean, it's one thing to have the Au Pair Link business and running successfully,
But then you have a baby and you launch My Food Bag at the same time.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it. Where did you wake up one morning and think, I'm pregnant? It must be, maybe it was baby brain.
It was just, I basically worked up until about 39 weeks with Thomas, and then yeah. I went on maternity leave because we thought he was going to be due probably on time, so I thought I'd have a week at home. But that week, you know, I spent cooking and cleaning and doing all the stuff that you're meant to do and preparing and nesting. And then I started going a couple of days over and I got really bored. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to start writing on the business plan for my food bag at that stage. And so I literally pressed save on the initial business plan for my food bag about 4 hours before I went into labour. So,
you are a superwoman.
It was pretty spectacular. There is a version that's saved on the 9th of August, at, you know, like 8 o'clock at night, and then at midnight I went into labour, so.
Wow, that's so impressive. Well, what I love about that story, though, is that you, like, the need came from your own need, and lots of women start businesses this way.
I think so. I mean, my food bag, I love cooking and I love food, but the struggles kind of bring it all together, and I think we do that really well.
I
love that.
What I was particularly loved about My Food Bag is that when I went and looked at what the business actually is, I mean, I thought to myself, wow, I actually thought of that a few years ago, and I was never going to do it as a business, but I was thinking that would be, I reckon that'd be a good business. But there's one thing thinking of an idea and then actually putting it into place, because there's a lot of moving parts with this business, and I look at how it all operates. And was there ever a time where you thought, you know what, it's a good idea, but I just can't face it right now?
It's quite an overwhelming business model. You know, we come out of, you know, my experience is in the early childhood sector. I deal with public money. That's the type of sector that we come from. And so I'm moving into a very different sector where you're dealing with logistics and warehousing, which is very male dominated. Doing that in a pair of heels is quite entertaining. So, you know,
and a baby on your hip.
Yeah. So, you know, and pink lipstick. So, you know, it is definitely quite a challenge, but I really enjoyed that. And I've enjoyed branching into something that's completely different from my core skill set, and which has now become my core skill set. You know, I understand warehousing and logistics really well now.
You're only 18 months in.
Yeah, we're 18 months into it,
Now, is My Food Bag available in Australia, or is that...
So My Food Bag launched in Australia at the start of July. So, to give some perspective, I mean, we currently globally, across Australia and New Zealand, deliver about 300,000 meals per month. So it's a pretty significant business in terms of scale, so it's grown really quickly.
So tell me about, I mean, I've read about this, but just for the viewers, so give me the synopsis. I know this is like the fourth step. What is My Food Bag?
So with My Food Bag, we deliver all the recipes that you need plus the ingredients for 4 or 5 nights of cooking. So it's a convenience around not having to think about what to cook, and then also not having to go to, you know, 3 different places to source it.
So also, and to stay healthy. So you just think, oh, pizza.
And we've got a group of nutritionists and dietitians that, alongside our chefs, design our recipes. So it's all nutritionally balanced, and it's a fantastic, you know, for
it keeps you cooking as well.
It does, you know, it means that, you know, you can actually put a healthy meal on the table for your family every night. And it just means that it's simple and it's healthy and it's delicious in that process.
And it's a bit of fun following the recipe.
It is, you know, it's like Christmas every Sunday, you know, the My Food Bag man rocks up with his delivery van and he brings out the goods, and, you know, it's really, it's quite a tactile experience. We've got really lovely recipe cards and people take quite pride in the process, so we really love that.
I have to say, I absolutely love that business, but I'm glad you said it's quite a... Like, it's a big business to get off the ground.
Yes,
I just think, I'm so keen to know. So the business plan, well, we went business plan into labour. Had the baby. And then was it like, did you sort of come out of hospital and think, I definitely need to do this? Or what was the kind of next
step? Yeah, I mean, we kind of, we settled into life with Tom, who was only a couple of days old. And then our board meeting for OPLink fell mid-September. So about 4 or 5 weeks, when he was about 4 or 5 weeks old. And so we added it to the agenda as an item to discuss, and he slept outside the boardroom while we pitched it to OPLink's board. And Teresa Getting, who's a former CEO of Telecom in New Zealand, is part of OPLink's board, or was part of OPLink's board at that stage. And she walked out and she said, yeah, cool, let's do it. And I was like, wow, okay.
It's
the journey
on.
Begins. Game on. What did I throw myself into?
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
So it wasn't really just, and I think, so it wasn't necessarily just you by yourself at the kitchen table sort of delivering this whole business model.
I mean, first of all, I mean, I've got an amazing husband. So he sits as group COO and I sit as group CEO. And he is the managing director of OPLink while I'm kind of at the home of my food bag right now. Although in reality, we both work full-time in My Food Bag. So it's him and me really driving that entrepreneurial side of it. And I couldn't do it without him.
You know what I love about that as well, actually? A topic I've been talking a lot with women recently about is this whole, and it's not necessarily a men-women thing, But it's this whole combination of, like, to be really successful in business, you have to have kind of the masculine energies, which are the fighting to win, competition, targets, strategic thinking. And then
the soft side.
Yeah, the soft side of the vision, though. Because it's also the creation, the vision, bringing the team together. And when you have both sides like that, businesses just absolutely fly.
Absolutely.
And you seem to have that.
Yeah, I think we've got a really good balance. And, you know, Teresa's always said to me that, you know, you would really want to, you know, invest in a business that has both James and Cecilia in it, because we bring such different qualities to the table.
Mm.
And so I think we do that really well. And he's a lot more analytical than I am, which balances me out, because I genuinely just go, let's do this.
Well, you explain that entrepreneurial, we're going to do it. And he can actually then...
He balances it,
So
it's really good for us.
Yeah, because I know that there's a lot of women out there who have launched businesses and have great ideas. And of course, the problem is that a great idea is nothing without implementation.
Yeah.
As we know.
And great execution.
Great execution.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ideas go by the wayside every day of the week because people can't execute. And then mediocre ideas by great executors come to the table. So,
absolutely.
What would you say for people who are struggling with execution and getting stuff done? What would your advice be to entrepreneurs and women out there doing this?
Well, I think for us, and for me in particular, it's been just surrounding yourself with really good people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, we initially at the start of my food bag, we engaged a couple of logistics and warehousing experts, and that really helped us in our negotiation and understanding what the complications were going to be with the business.
Mm.
And so that really put a shine on those areas and made us really focus hard on them. So I think really good people, and also understanding, you know, what you want out of it, I think it's really important.
That's really important. A lot of people get scared of that.
You know, what do you want out of it? You know, do you want to run a $100 million business? Do you want to run a $1 million business? What's the
What kind of life do you want to live?
And so how does that impact? Yeah. And that is an important decision maker.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to touch on, this whole thing of, I mean, obviously this is a show, a Feminine Wealth TV show. It's all about, like, there's a lot of money involved in business like this. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, one-woman shows out there who, they leave corporate world, for example, get an idea, launch a business, and then run into cash flow difficulties, haven't thought it through, end up doing everything themselves, can't afford to hire staff.
You're self-employed.
You're self-employed. The solopreneur thing we're talking about is like the death trap for me, because it means you do everything by yourself.
Yeah.
So tell me, and I know I'm going back to Au Pair Link again, but so you start off that business. Has one business been able to fund the other one?
Well,
how did you sort of
for
get
us? It was Au Pair Link was really our blood, sweat, and tears, and
the sweat equity.
Yeah, it totally was. And for us, once we'd done Au Pair Link, we had credibility in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, you know, that meant that when we asked for backing from our bank or from investors, everybody said yes.
Yeah.
So we didn't have problems launching my food bag because people believed that we could do it and that we could execute well. So that was really the crunches. So, you know, putting in the hard yards, I mean, we've had to put in the blood, sweat, and the tears again into my food bag. But, you know, we had a lot more support financially. I mean, we started Au Pair Link off, you know, nothing. We had nothing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my husband's salary literally went in to kind of cash fund the business while I worked full time in it. So, you know, that's a really hard period to go through, but it's really essential to be able to.
I think everyone has to go through. I think the reality is that that is the reality of, you know, and you have to fight to get through that period and to have the vision to know that in 2 years or 3 years' time.
It's going to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's amazing. It's such an amazing story. So tell me, you mentioned investors. I'm always interested in the whole capital raising thing.
Yeah.
Because women are out there at the moment saying, oh, there's no capital for women, I can't raise capital.
Yeah.
I don't personally believe that. But I'm interested to know your experience with it. Did you raise capital for Au Pair Link, or was it just with...
No, so Au Pair Link is 100% owned by my husband and I, so we've never required funding, which is quite a nice position to be in, because if you've got a business that you kind of understand what the cap is and what the scalability is, and if you can take it there, you should.
Mm.
You know, if that's within your means and you think that that's not going to compromise the outcome.
Yeah.
For my food bag, it was very different. We understood at a really early stage that the business that we wanted to launch was going to require a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that we would also require a lot of talent, and you know, we didn't want dumb money. You know, didn't want people that were just quiet and didn't participate.
Silent investors.
We wanted smart money, and we wanted to be involved in a business where we surrounded ourselves with people that we really wanted to work with. So, you know, we kind of went for the top scale in New Zealand. Teresa Gatting, you know, first female CEO of a publicly listed entity in New Zealand. She's got an amazing business background, very talented, and we worked together in OPL and Corelli for like 4 years.
I was going to ask you that. Did you just kind of call her up and say,
yeah,
hey, it's Cecilia?
Yeah, so yeah, she was really, I mean, amiable to that, and as a key shareholder in my food bank for that reason. And now the CEO in Ibsen's in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be able to surround yourself with people, and I think when you consider getting capital and getting people to invest in your business, you really have to understand what their drivers are as well. You know,
absolutely,
are they going to return within 6 months, within 12 months,
are
within 18 months,
three,
you know,
years and all
what's,
that stuff,
what's
yeah,
their end game as well, and has to relate to what your end game is.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just on different paths.
And I love that as well. Another woman I was interviewing a few weeks ago said that sometimes early on in your entrepreneurial or business career, it's really good, like, obviously to have mentors, and they don't have to be formal mentors. But what happened for this particular woman is she said a mentor that she'd had for a long time, informally, just a chat every now and then, but was always kind of there, ended up becoming one of the major investors in a business she did much later.
Yeah.
And she sort of said that, like, it's interesting that you had this relationship.
Yeah.
This woman was on your board.
Yeah.
So you'd already had that kind of relationship,
yeah,
with someone who could potentially later.
Exactly. And I mean,
investor.
We paid her as a part of our board, and she's always said to me, and she said, look, you know, if I'm going to be part of OPLX board, I want to be paid and I want to have full transparency. Those
yeah,
are my two rules if I'm on your board. And we said, yeah. We'd had mentors before that were informal and that were not paid.
Oh, right.
And so we were kind of like, yep, yeah, let's do this. And we already had a paid board member at that stage. And so yeah, it was, you know, it's about connections, but it's also about, you know, having the balls to approach people at the right time. You know, I met Teresa for a function and I walked up to her afterwards and I said, look, we'd quite like to have someone on our board, and she said, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I love that. So you just decided that, you know.
Yeah.
Did you know kind of the type of person you were looking for? Did you know it was her, or did you just...
No, I just wanted her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, Teresa has got a really good way of kind of cutting through the bullshit, and...
I love that you just went up and asked her.
Yeah.
Lots of people would go, I don't know how I'm going to get to her, and what if she says no? And
yeah.
I'm like, well, what's the worst? She can say no.
Exactly.
Like,
it doesn't matter. It
doesn't
know?
Matter. And
no.
At least she knows who you are then.
In my experience, we've never had someone say no to us. You
I've
know?
Never had people say no to me either.
No,
I
it's just,
think...
you know, people just say yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think people overestimate the amount of times that they're going to get a no. And in my experience, it's very rare.
Yeah.
If you believe in yourself.
So tell me as well, I love the fact that you're so into the team. Because
yeah,
again, this is a huge problem. Women won't hire. Oh, because that's a gross generalization
yeah,
to make. But you really, another lady on the show said to me, you can't grow if you're a one-woman show.
No.
It's so true.
And it's really true.
Yeah.
And I mean, for us, you know, that meant taking personal hit. You know, I think it was 2 or 3 years before we had a salary for our PR at
yeah,
that stage.
Mm.
But we always thought that the right strategy was to employ people and to employ really capable people in that process.
Mm.
And building that team culture was really pivotal to the success of OPLX.
Mm.
You know, we replaced, I think, six on the best workplace in New Zealand. You know, that's pretty cool in our category,
yeah,
you know, and that means a huge amount to us. So yeah.
And I love that you said as well, and you do have to take a hit early. I mean, I
yeah,
have friends and, you know, people who are resisting hiring staff, and I think, yeah, you've got the money to do it, but
yeah,
they're just resisting it. I don't know why. I don't know whether it's a control thing. I don't
yeah,
know why it's a letting go thing. And I'm just finding that, you know, I just think it's so worth it if you hire them and train them properly and inspire them and get them to the point where they really want
and
to
also
be part of your vision.
You know, it's, you know, what is the end game? You know, if you're going to drive a bigger business, you have to be working on it, not necessarily in it all the time. And so, you know, I think that's part of that decision as well.
Yeah.
And it's so important, you know, and also the reality of it is that you can't do everything, and you're certainly not the best at everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be able to surround yourself with other people that are.
And then to be able to lead them.
Yeah, absolutely. And be able to trust also that they'll do a really good job in their space.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Now, of course, the big question is, how do you create space as a mother?
Yeah.
You know, because there's also women out there thinking, I'm doing everything, I've just had a baby, I'm trying. Like, you know, women out there are struggling. Like,
yeah.
I mean, even in the corporate world. And how... What would you say?
For us,
what's the truth?
I mean, for us, it's, you know, you can't be superwoman, but,
yeah,
you know, I've got quite strict rules in regards to our family, and we've got really set routines. So we spend at least 5 or 6 hours with Tom every day that he's awake. So we generally want to go to wake. We generally leave for work at, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock,
mm-hmm,
and be in by like 9:15, and we always go back by 4. So we get to spend a huge amount with him, a huge amount of time with him every day, and that's really important to us.
Mm.
So that means that we kind of have to work at 7 o'clock, we'll pick up our laptops and we'll keep working.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a compromise that we're happy to make, because we get to spend a lot of time with him.
Mm.
And with Tom, that's meant that both his mum and his dad, because we work together,
yeah,
get to spend that time with him. So mum and dad are equally important. But the reality of it is, you just kind of, you choose what's really important, and our team knows, and we encourage them as well, that, you know, kids and family come first, and so, you know, if you can, you know, do the school drop off, but still be really successful, why shouldn't you, you know? Is there anything wrong in that, you know?
I love that, because I know we talked about this off air.
Yeah.
I a lot of people, I mean, I'm hoping to have kids now, the amount of people who've said to me, you can't launch a business and have a baby at the same time, I'm like, really? I mean, isn't that just we are women?
Yeah.
You know, it is kind
it's
of just
part of our life.
It's part of our lives, and it is wholly possible if you have the right people around you.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we've been really lucky. We've had our peers, you know, we've had a really supportive environment, and it's made it easier for us, you know. Mm. But you choose it, you know, you choose to have another person in your home, and it makes it, you know, for us it's made a better experience. So,
So tell me, what is the big vision? For my food bag is probably your bigger.
Yeah,
that's the big baby.
Yeah,
what's the big vision for it?
I think for us, you know, the vision for us is to create healthier communities.
Yeah.
It's to, you know, bring back the fun in cooking. You know, it's, you know, I think we're tackling, you know, an obesity issue across worldwide.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not just talking about nations. You know, you've got a problem in New Zealand, you've got a problem
and
in Australia.
And lack of nutritional eating.
Yeah.
So people are eating too much with no nutrition.
Yeah. So for us, you know, we just want to change. We want to build healthier communities.
Yeah.
You know, and we think that, you know, we can achieve that through introducing my food bag across as many homes as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're currently delivering about 300,000 meals per month. So, you know, there's no reason why that won't be 1 million or 2 million or 3 million or 4 million meals per month. So that's what we're building towards.
And it's a pretty scalable business model.
It's a scalable business model.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's to do with the logistical and the warehousing aspect of it is complicated, but it is a scalable business model.
Mm. And how important do you think it is to have, I mean, I kind of know the answer to this question, but that whole thing of getting the model right and then making sure that it is scalable. The back end is all working.
It is really important. I mean, I think you have to, if you have the big picture and you know that the big picture is scalable, but you don't always know the processes in making it that, you know, still go for it.
Yeah.
You know, because we learnt the areas that we needed to improve on pretty quickly after launch in New Zealand, and we haven't made those same mistakes in Australia.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can launch something that isn't 100% perfect, and you have to be willing to make changes as you go to make it more scalable. So I think you have to understand what the bigger vision is in terms of how scalable is it, and then as you go, you can amend and change the steps to get it to that point.
Global? Are you going?
Potentially? I mean, possibly, yeah. I mean,
is Sweden going to have their own?
Yeah, Sweden does have a version of my food bag, and so we think it's a great brand, and, you know, we want to focus on doing what we're doing really well. I'm not one for doing things half pie or being second best. So, you know, we want to execute really well in Australia, and that's my core focus right now.
Listen, that's absolutely fantastic. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show and hearing about your success, and reading about you in coming up to the show has been amazing. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
If people want to find out more and they want to sign up for my food bag, where should they go?
Myfoodbag.com.au.
Brilliant. I think you're going to have some people. I think I might sign up for that.
Yeah, you do.
Love cooking. And it's, you know, I love cooking. I think the fun element of couples cooking together. And
it's fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times we get customers saying that it's
fun
helping their marriage as well.
I was just thinking that, you know, bringing sexy back for cooking.
Yeah.
Because cooking is seen as a chore.
Yeah,
and
it
actually
totally
it should
is.
Be fun.
Yeah,
yeah, it should be fun. That's great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Lovely to meet you.
And thank you everyone for watching again for another week. Remember, you can catch me later this week on my podcast at Wealth Unplugged on my website, energizewealth.com. And then come back next week for more Feminine Wealth TV.